pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for sticking with us on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. If you want to respond to anything we are discussing this morning, still to come, State Senator Chris Elliott. That's in about a half hour. Please stick around for that. As always, text line 251-343-0106. That's the best way to get in touch with this program. Joining us now on the line after a late night in Montgomery, and I'm sure was a late night drive back to his back to Morgan County there, State Representative Scott Stathagen with us on the phone here. Representative, I'll just say this, these are my words, but I think, and you had a lot to do with this, you probably got more done for conservatives in one day of the legislative session yesterday from a conservative point of view than you did in the entire 2020 legislative session. So congrats to you. But kind of talk to us the bill yesterday that it came with, I think, some unexpected things added to it. Talk us through that.
Hey, Jeff, we'll start off. Thank you, man, for having me on your show this morning. I am a little tired, so forgive me if I sound like it. Yesterday was a great day for Republicans. The bill, HB 322, went up to the Senate, and we were in committee Tuesday. And they put an amendment on it in the Senate and brought it back down. And I tell you, it was a good bill when they brought it down. I was excited to see it, and I was happy to concur on it. And it was a long, lengthy debate, but it was very worthwhile.
So essentially you got, I guess it's being deemed, quote unquote, the bathroom bill, but you also got, in addition to that, we're going to kind of follow in Florida's footsteps. And unfortunately the media have dictated what they're going to, the label they're going to apply to it, the Don't Say Gay label, which is not really factual, but that you're not going to talk about sexual orientation from K through five, kindergarten through fifth grade. It's not something we need to be dealing with at that age level, and now we have it on the books.
Correct. You're absolutely right. You know, when I first read this amendment, which I'm going to have to admit, I've never read the bill from Florida. When the Senate presented this amendment to me and I read it, the number one thing I thought of was, when, you know, our movies are rated, and they're rated G and PG and then PG-13. And that's because they're rated to what that age group can handle and what they should be soaking in, right? So this was a perfect bill for our young students. And it's a G-rated bill in my mind is when I read it. And any kid from kindergarten to fifth grade does not need to hear discussions or instructions on sexual orientation or gender identity, you know. And I was really excited to see it, and I was happy to carry it.
Now, let's talk about some of the detractors real quick. Down in our area, Napoleon Bracey, your colleague in the House, this is kind of the knee-jerk response from the media and some Democrats. This is just election year politicking, and you guys are just playing to the base or whatever. But I'm going to go on a limb here. I don't think a lot of you are really in danger of losing your seats, a lot of you are unopposed. This is not knee-jerk election year politicking at all, it seems to me.
I completely agree. You know, I was blessed to be unopposed. And when I look at legislation, I look at the legislation and is it good for our state? Is it good for my community? And that's why originally the gender bathroom bill, I had that drafted because it is truly a problem that we're having in our state. And the society, that the direction our society is facing and pointing towards, you know, that's what this amendment addresses. And to the point that you made with Napoleon, we're all passionate about what we believe in. And Every one of us are. And if we're not, we should not be in Montgomery. And we're passionate with our conservative views. And I think the world is Napoleon. I respect him as a colleague. I respect all my colleagues. But, you know, with the bill before mine, to actually agree that it's okay for a minor to have a sexual surgery, you know, I mean, that's absolutely absurd. I mean, that's no kid at the age of 12 or 13 should make a lifelong decision that's going to affect them for the rest of their life. So I completely agree. I mean, this is not a political stunt. This was something that we feel as conservative Republicans is the right thing to do, and this is the path that we want our state to go forward on.
I mean, it seems to me, though, it's for a lot of Republicans, and you know, I mean, the talk radio business, and I talk to mostly base voting hardcore Republicans every day. But the response is, what took you guys so long?
Well, it's been a long session, Jeff. I'll tell you that. The sausage making process takes a while, and we have our views, and when we see certain things, our constituents reach out to us, it takes a while from getting it drafted and kind of vetting it through all the system with our colleagues and making sure folks back home are okay with it. You know, we represent the people of our district, and that's the number one priority for me, was to be a voice of my district and state, and that's kind of on my, that would be my response, is why it takes so long. But as long as it gets through the finish line, It's a victory for us.
Well, we're joined by State Representative Scott Stanhagen here on the program. Tell me, though, do you think that this could be an omen? Is there the possibility that we could see more of this from the future legislature? Now, who knows what 2023 and beyond have in store? We got elections, and you're going to have some new members come in, and things are going to be somewhat different. But could this kind of maybe sit be a good tempo-setting measure for the future?
I pray it does, Jeff. You know, the thing is, so not one time in my debate did I hear about the female students that are being infringed upon with these males who are identifying as females going into their bathrooms. Not one time did someone bring that up. We are literally going decades back to women's rights and what we were originally fighting for back in the day, and it doesn't matter. You know, nobody's bringing that up, and the father of a daughter, I mean, that just blows my mind. And I tell you, we have got to stand firm and keep what's right is right and wrong is wrong. I mean, that's just, you know, nobody is pushing agendas. The Republican Party, we're in defense mode right now, it seems like, with a lot of these bills. And, you know, unfortunately so. When I filed this bathroom bill, everybody just was kind of shocked. And I was shocked after I asked all of my constituents throughout the state, check with your superintendent, see if this is taking place. And the response that I got was actually baffling. I could not believe it.
Right. That these problems, you know, they're not something that the media are going to highlight, right? That the media, correct, you know, they already have their minds made up on these issues. So, I guess it does. You've got to do your own little bit of homework to find out if this stuff is really, if it really matters, since it doesn't fit that agenda.
Correct. And if, you know, once this problem was brought to my attention, if I didn't check with my colleagues, that would be doing a political stunt. That would be doing this because it's election year. And that's not the case. This is truly a problem that we're having within our state. I immediately called Senator Garland Gudger and informed him of what was taking place, and he did his due diligence with his members. And I want to hats off to my Senator Gudger, because he toted the water upstairs and did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, and, you know, that it's just a matter of maybe that's part of it, Representative, that getting the House and the Senate on the same page, that it probably, you know, typically you're all in agreement on these things, but it just becomes a matter of what should the priorities be. And then at the end of the day, kind of, you've got two chambers with very different mindsets, very different tempos, and you got to get those two sort of synchronized, and that's half the battle.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think your next guest, Senator Chris Elliott, he was a huge part in getting that bill on the committee. Because, you know, when we file a bill like this, a lot of people, they lash out and they voice their opinions. And that smaller percentile is a lot louder than the larger one. And I accommodate him for his work, and I'm happy to see that he's behind me. And to your point earlier, the media labeling things, don't say gay bill. If you look at that legislation that the Senate put on there, the word G-A-Y is not in there anywhere. For somebody to say that they're okay with discussion of sexual orientation or gender identity from kindergarten to fifth grade is honestly absurd to me. I just cannot imagine kids even thinking about stuff like that at that age of their life.
Yeah, you know, so often it's like we were talking about the media dictating the terms here. And but the guys that are in the Capitol Press Corps, I'll name names later, but that are treated like they're legit, above board, above politics journalists, they have their bias and then their talking points down, and they're going to run with that moniker, the Don't Say Gay. And it's like you said, the bill doesn't say that at all. But they're being intellectually dishonest, and I think that, you know, maybe on the margins impacts public opinion, but it does seem to me, though, that what you guys did yesterday really kind of hit the nail on the head with the will of the voters, the consent of the governed.
Yes, sir, absolutely. You know, for a journalist to push their own narrative through legislation, I think that's wrong. And, you know, you read the piece of legislation for what it is, and that's what you report. Don't put your own narrative on it, and let's go forward. I mean, that's the problem right now with our society, is different agendas are being pushed upon our constituents, and they're tired of it, and they're extremely tired of it. And I had a guy ask me this morning if he thought our governor was actually going to sign this bill, and I honestly chuckled, and I said, you must not know our governor. So I have all the confidence in the world in her signing this piece of legislation, supporting her legislators. And yesterday was just a good day for the state of Alabama.
Yeah, like I said, I think you guys got more done for social conservatives voters in this state than you did in an entire year this session. So I got to imagine that early on you're getting some positive feedback there.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. We're getting a lot. You know, and that's the thing, you know, with politics, you've got passionate folks on both sides. And the problem with Republicans sometimes is we are conservative and respectful and we're passionate, but we're not as loud as the other side sometimes, because we want to be respectful. And that's kind of our downfall sometimes as a Republican Party, because we are so respectful. But I think we make our mark with legislation, and we do it the proper way, in a respectful way.
And we'll get you out of here on this. Just from your perspective on this, though, do you think we're getting that gulf narrowed where you have a Republican supermajority, but sometimes I watch the live stream. I've sat in that chamber a couple of times, and it doesn't seem like it's necessarily a Republican supermajority. That, you know, not saying that you ought to steamroll Democrats out of the gate, but at some point the priorities and the bills and things of that sort ought to reflect sort of your position of strength. Because that's what the voters wanted. They wanted a Republican supermajority in both chambers. That the bills passed ought to reflect this position of strength sometimes, and I think sometimes that they don't.
Well, I tend to agree with that as well, but I will say this. With our pro tem Greg Reed and Speaker McCutcheon, they are strong Republican conservative Christian men, and they believe in the process. And honestly, they are the perfect man for the job and the situation that we have had. I cannot commend them enough. Mac, I've learned a lot from him as a speaker, with his patience and sometimes being frustrated like he just displayed. I've learned through that process, and I've learned that you have to be patient sometimes through that process. And I do realize when the the tables were turned and the Republicans are the minority, we did not have that, you know, that option, because we were kind of steamrolled over and all that. But, you know, like I said, I alluded to earlier, being respectful. And that's what Republicans are. We're about is we're going to be respectful and we're going to stand stronger on our ways. But that probably as a new legislator, what I had to learn the most is being patient and letting the process work. And I learned that through my speaker, which I'm blessed to have served under.
Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. Hopefully you can catch up on your sleep, but we will reconvene and talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Scott Stadhagen there, a state representative up in North Alabama. Let's get a break here. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried.
This information update brought to you by Roy Lewis Construction, delivering unparalleled value and quality on new construction and commercial and